The Harvard Business School Round 1 application deadline just passed. A bunch of other MBA application deadlines are right around the corner. And the final deadline for 2016 Medical School MCAS applications are also coming into view. Applicants for many other programs, everything from four-year undergrad applicants to medical residency and fellowship applicants, are in full applicant mode. So for this podcast, I'm going to discuss some of the burning questions that frequently come my way at this time of year. Welcome to the 120th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." So listeners, thank you very much for joining me. I know you have lots of things to do with your time, and I really appreciate the fact that you are spending it with me. The questions I would like to address this morning or today can be divided into two broad categories. Number one, proofing your essays, indeed your applications, and two, whether to apply now or wait. First, let's discuss some of those timing questions, and I'm going to focus this part of the podcast very much on both medical school applicants and MBA applicants. For MBAs, at this time of year, I hear a lot of, should I raise my GMAT and miss round one deadlines, or should I do XYZ and improve my application in some way or another, or have the so-called round one advantage but a lower GMAT or lack whatever that X factor is. Let's start with the basics, and I might have discussed this a little bit on a previous one, but I think I'm going to go into more detail today. Let's start with the basics. There is no round one advantage if your application will be better round two. There may be a round one advantage if you hold the quality of your application constant, but there is no advantage if the application is going to be better round two. The main difference between the two rounds is that in round one, the class is wide open and all seats are available. That reality can provide an advantage to the excellent applicant from a common cohort or the competitive applicant from a common cohort, or perhaps even the less than competitive applicant from a common cohort, because no one from his group is as yet in. Schools value diversity. So at that point, the class is as unformed and as diverse as it possibly can be. Also, sometimes there is more financial aid available in earlier rounds, though the schools usually budget pretty well for round one and round two in terms of financial aid. My rule in terms of round one versus round two for MBAs is apply in the earliest round possible, provided, and provided is always in caps, you don't compromise the quality of your application. So getting back to the initial question, if you are confident you can raise your GMAT score or GRE score or do whatever it is, and that will materially improve your application, prepare again, retake, and apply round two. And you can apply this rule, whether the question is about a rushed versus a thoughtful application, that's another common question, or projects at work or a host of other calculations. For medical school applicants, the question at this time of year is a little different. It usually goes along the lines of, I just got my MCAT score, and I wonder if I should apply now or wait until next year and apply in early June. Usually, the MCAT in these cases is a good one. Usually, let's say a 515 plus on the new scale. MCAS starts processing medical school applications in early June, and the absolute latest medical school application deadlines, which vary by school, are December 15th. So why the concern about submitting an MCAS application in September before the deadlines, or even the earlier deadlines? Well, every medical school representative or advisor I have ever spoken with has made it quite clear that the chances of acceptance go down the later you apply. Ryan Gray on a podcast said that medical school admissions is like musical chairs. He likened it to musical chairs, which I thought was an excellent metaphor. The fewer seats are available, the harder it is to grab the remaining seats. Our experience confirms this advice. At the same time, as Dr. Lena Maida, Associate Dean for Admissions at Case Western Reserve University College of Medicine, observed in podcast number 103, and I'll look up the podcast with Ryan Gray, and you can find podcast 103 at info.accept.com/103, there is always room for the truly exceptional applicants, even in the last weeks before the deadline. So, if you just took your MCAT and are trying to decide whether to apply for 2016 matriculation or wait to apply until next June, consider the following. If you are above average, really and truly, and competitiveness, then you still have a chance even late in the game. Perhaps not at every medical school, but you still have a chance. Medical schools don't accept applications just to reject everyone who applies in the last month or two. Some people will get through. At the same time, if you are more average in competitiveness or less than average in competitiveness, you have to decide if you want to invest the time and money in applying now so that you have some chance of matriculation in September, even if that chance is lower or much lower than if you wait. The only one who has no chance of acceptance is the one who doesn't apply. And for some of you, especially if you dread the possibility of rejection, if you would find that devastating, you're better off having no chance now and a much better chance in June. If you want to do everything possible to maximize the probability that you apply only once to medical school and you do so successfully the first time, then wait and apply next June. For those of you who are submitting graduate applications of any kind, and even undergraduate applications this fall, you are sooner or later going to need to proof or check your application before you submit it. Now, first of all, realize that checking your application isn't just a matter of commas and spelling, and it isn't really just a matter of proofing the statement of purpose or essay or personal statement. You need to step back and give your application a holistic review, almost like an admissions reader would do. And yes, you still need to check the writing mechanics. I'm not saying throw that out, but I'm saying don't focus only on that, because I think it really deserves a higher elevation review as well as that kind of very detailed one. And here's what I recommend. And I'm going to prepare, I haven't yet done so, but you'll have it by the time this podcast airs, a cheat sheet or a to-do list, checklist, whatever you want to call it, with a lot of what I'm going to say in the next, I guess, 10 minutes. I have a lot of threes, a lot of mnemonics, actually not so many mnemonics, one mnemonic, a lot of lists, a lot of threes that will help you in checking your application, both on a higher level, the airplane kind of level, the 30,000 foot view, as well as the good old proof for commas, etc. Now, let's start with the purpose of the essay specifically. Realize that your essay has three purposes, and they are there no matter what specialty or program you're applying to. So this is true of personal statements, statements of purpose, application essays for the MBA, whatever you're writing. Purpose number one, provide a window into the real you, your motivations, your challenges overcome, personality, character, hopes, dreams, passions, you. That's number one. Number two, add value to your application. And this is closely related to number one. You can go into depth not allowed by boxes or resume, transcript or test score into a specific event. You can add color and richness to those cold boxes through your essays. They're also an opportunity for you to demonstrate your writing ability and even your communications ability, but specifically the writing ability. You can show them that you know how to communicate. So I have an acronym for this, and I think it's really important that you keep in mind this acronym as you're reviewing specifically the essays. You want them to provide a window into the real you. P, add value to your application. That's A, add value. And D, demonstrate your writing ability, D. So the acronym is PAD. And you want to make sure that your essays specifically, but really your application as a whole, accomplish all three of these things. And I'm going to outline now how you need to check it. And you need to check it with what I call the three ins, okay? In context, individually, and in detail. The first of the three ins is in context. Evaluate your essay in context of your entire application. And indeed, evaluate the different elements of your application in context of your entire application. You don't want them, anything, to be merely repeating what's in other parts. So your job history should add a little bit to your resume, and your essay, if you have both, or your activity history, and your essay can take a deep dive perhaps into something that you only had a teeny bit of space for in the resume and or job history. The other thing I want to caution you against is sometimes I've read essays that really hide the applicant. Occasionally, either my children's friends or children of my friends have asked me to review their essays. So I know these people very well. In some cases, I've known them since early childhood. And I'll even tell them, I said, look, I don't meet you in this essay at all. I know you. I don't see you there. It's hiding you. That's something that you don't want your essay to do. It should be introducing you. And does it introduce a dimension of you not obvious from the boxes or the transcripts and the resume? Does the essay complement the rest of the application with minimal overlap? If you have multiple essays, for instance, secondaries or multiple application essays for business school or a diversity statement and a personal statement for law school, do they complement each other? They should. You don't want to be wasting valuable essay real estate repeating the same stuff over and over again. And do the and again, I want to, I've been emphasizing this throughout. Do the elements of the application complement your essays, and vice versa? Again, in context of the entire application, that's the first in. Then you have to evaluate your essays and your short answer questions or the responses to them individually. That's the second in. Individually. Does your essay have a clear theme? Every piece of writing, and this again is true of your short answer questions also, has to have a point it's trying to convey. That point may have a few different elements like, I want to be a doctor because I enjoy the problem-solving aspects of diagnosis and treatment, working with people, and the feeling of being involved in something truly important and critical as I work with sick people. If you review your essay or somebody else does and they say, you know, I really don't know what you're talking about here. It feels like stream of consciousness. There's no clear theme. Then you probably need to rewrite it. But you're better off knowing that now than via a rejection and some kind of application review after you apply. Does your essay have a clear structure? Is it easy to follow? Now, your structure can be chronological or it can be thematic, but it needs to flow. Now, sometimes structural problems can be easily fixed, usually by reordering material and strengthening transitions. So if it doesn't flow well, if people get lost in your essay, again, those are usually fixable problems. Have you made good use of examples to support your theme, add interest to your essay, and distinguish you from your competition? Specifics automatically show you as an individual. And then have you answered the question posed? Some personal statements, you don't have to worry about that so much, but if you're responding to a specific question, as you typically will be in secondary essays or in MBA application essays, you have to make sure that you've answered the question and you've responded to all elements in the question. A lot of the questions will be what and why. For example, Stanford's what matters to you most and why. What are you most proud of and why? These are very, that's not Stanford's, it's not the schools. That is very common, especially in MBA and medical secondary essays. And in all cases, you want to be authentic and real. If you're not, your essay won't pass the smell test. It'll just kind of feel phony, and it won't serve its purpose. Remember, they want a window into the real you. So you want an essay that stands on its own two feet individually, it's the second in, as an engaging, coherent piece. And if it does that, then it's going to provide that window into the real you, it's going to add value to your application, and yes, it will demonstrate your writing and communication ability. It will really involve all parts of that PAD acronym. So that is the second in. Does it stand on its own two feet individually as a coherent piece of writing that answers the question and reveals something distinctive and interesting about you? The third in is in detail. That's what most of you think of as proofing. I'm talking about something much more thorough overall here, but in this particular stage, you're right. We're talking about writing mechanics, checking writing mechanics. And this too is important, but only once you have the right content. If you have a beautiful written piece of garbage or correctly written piece of garbage, it's not going to do you any good. So, in context and individually address the larger pictures, the holistic review part of things, and now in detail means that you look at and check the nitty-gritty of writing and writing mechanics. And by that I mean style, word usage, sentence structure, grammar, spelling, punctuation, etc. And this is the stuff that no one really likes to think about too much. It's not very exciting. But let's face it, lots of typos and sloppiness convey an impression of you as a sloppy and not terribly professional person. And particularly when you're applying to graduate and professional schools, that's not the impression you want to make. And if you're applying to elite colleges, it still isn't the impression you want to make. Because it tells them that you're not taking the process seriously or that you're a poor writer. Now, for those of you for whom English is a second language, yes, you will be cut some slack in your writing, and you don't have to worry about idiosyncratic idioms that are typical of your mother tongue. I wouldn't worry about that so much, but you still can't ignore this part of the editing process, and you have to convey that you can communicate in English. However, proofing your essay or your writing or your application, whatever elements you want, especially the writing and the short answer questions, is really difficult at this stage of the game. You've already thought about the essay, drafted it, written it, rewritten it X times, and now you've provided two holistic reviews. How are you going to have the objective eye necessary to critique it one last time in this detailed kind of way? You're sick of it. Well, here comes the three A's of editing. Again, I'm going to prepare a list of threes, and you will be able to download that at info.exhibit.com 120 download, and it will have the three types of editing, the three levels of editing, the PAD acronym, and also the three A's of a good in detail edit. All right, the three N's, the three A's, and PAD. And that will be, again, available at info.exhibit.com 120 download. So what are the three A's of editing? A break is the first one. Give your essay a break. Step away from it. If possible, give yourself a couple of days without looking at it. If you don't have time for that, give it overnight. If you don't have time for that, give it a couple of hours. Put it in a drawer. Do not look at it. And if you don't have time for that, take a walk around the block. Take a walk around your apartment. Take a break. The second A, a printout. And double or triple space that printout. When you review your printout, change location. Don't sit at your desk, and for heaven's sakes, don't try and proof on your screen. We're trained to skim at the computer. Don't do it. So take your printout and take it someplace else. Don't do it at your desk. Do it at the kitchen table, on the couch, whatever you want, and read it aloud. Aloud is the third A. Read it slowly aloud, paying attention to each word and to all punctuation to make sure that it flows, and obviously listen as you're reading. So let's review quickly, and again, you can download this at info.exhibit.com 120 download. The three N's of an application review mean you check for all three purposes of the application essay. First, let's focus on the essay, right? Provide a window into the real you, add value to the other elements of the application, and demonstrate your writing ability. Then there, review your application on three levels, the three levels of an application review. In context, the essay specifically in the context of the application, but I would say again, look at all the elements, look at the resume, look at the activity history, look at the job history if relevant, and look at them and make sure that they're fitting together like puzzle pieces in a puzzle. Then, especially for the essay, you're going to want to review it individually, but I would say again, same with the resume, same with the short answer questions, review them individually and make sure that they stand on their own two feet as a coherent piece of writing with a clear message and point. And then in detail, writing mechanics. And for that, you need the three A's, right? The three A's for editing on this in detail level are a break, a printout, aloud. For more tips on writing and editing your essays, just go to www.exhibit.com, choose the category that's most appropriate for you, and then go to the essay section for your particular group. We have for MBA, Med, Law, Grad, and College. You'll find lots of essay writing and editing advice. And I'll include links to our essay editing 101 pages in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/120. Listeners, thank you for joining me today for this, our 120th episode. I also have a favor to ask of you. If you found this show helpful, could you leave your feedback on iTunes? It helps us get ranked more highly if there are more reviews, especially when there are 5-star reviews. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zune. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.